Radio.com.
The following program contains adult situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
With your host, Tim Stein.
When 900 years old, you reach Brickishwood, you are not first.
Mace.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Omega.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
They tell me I'm a sexual Jedi.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Joe.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't do six sets! Suck it!
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, who is apparently C-3PO for this week. I am versed in 1.5 languages, and the one I am versed in is questionable at best.
Yes, it is.
You're not one to criticize.
I know.
It's too bad there's no spell check on the black cards, is there, Rock?
Shut up. Can't wait to critique yours.
Oh, I'm sure you will. For all this, you're going to bitch about them no matter how good they are.
There's not enough spaces between your letters. Just anyway. There's not enough damn blanks. Damn it.
Just need one play one game, just all blanks. Every card, just come up with whatever the hell you want.
Right.
So that's the intro you get this week.
Yeah.
Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I'm going to play a blank card, and you guys make up whatever funny thing you think I should say this week.
One of those days.
It's fucking hot. I boil.
I live in Florida. Tell me about it.
Yeah, but you don't have a girlfriend in New Jersey who turns on the camera and goes, "Here, look at all this snow." I'm like, damn it, I'll trade.
That's what I always figure. I will take snow over blistering heat because at least you can layer up in snow.
Oh, God.
At least while you're around snow, like cold weather, snow, at least you can rug up, you can warm yourself up quite easily, whereas when you are boiling hot, it takes a lot to cool your body down and keep it cool.
Yeah,
that's what people who live in these snow-covered areas don't seem to understand.
Yeah, like, there have been summers here that I seriously wish I could peel off a few layers of skin.
Oh yeah, I've had that too. I've pretty much felt like going outside, laying down in the backyard and sort of crack a couple of eggs on my back and some bacon, because that's how easily it's going to fry.
And, of course, at the head of the table, joining us as always, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, Darth Tim Stein, I guess, eh?
The intro was Yoda, and there's an old joke in there, but it's also, there's also a flattering, because it's freaking Yoda.
Well, yeah.
I'm not quite sure how to interpret it.
I figured that it would give you pause. It's like, yeah, Tim's calling himself old, but wait a second, he's saying he's good looking. What the fuck? So, it might melt your circuits.
Saying he's fucking Yoda. No.
Yeah, you know, Yoda's cool. Slow. So, you know, so am I. That's just beside the point. Guys going on about how hot you are, you know, you want, oh, I trade, yeah, fine. You know what? Minus 35 degrees Celsius in my city, I'll trade with you. I'll
deal.
Trade with
done.
Mace
get on a plane.
Right now. You get on a plane,
done.
Come here, I'll get on a plane, go there.
Deal.
All my life, I've had people who hated me tell me to go to hell, and tell you the truth, I'm looking forward to the trip. I hate cold. I love it hot. The hotter, the better. I will turn on my oven and open the door to get the thing going and have this place that I live in up to like 200 degrees Fahrenheit and be comfortable.
Yeah, try living in extremely hot weather for a majority of the year and see how much you love it then.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, because I have lived in extremely hot weather for the majority of the year. When I used to live in southern Ontario, Canada, the part of Ontario that I lived with, it was actually on the same like geographical level as California, and surrounded by all the Great Lakes, with the humidity getting factored into it. I mean, we would have days where it gets up to like 115 degrees Fahrenheit. And, okay, I cheated because we had a swimming pool, but still I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm the only guy I know who can walk down Main Street, Las Vegas, in the middle of August on the sunny side of the street and not break a sweat, which I have also done.
That reminds me, we just got a pool yesterday.
Yep.
I'm gonna find a way to move my computer out near the pool next week. Find a way to extend this headset so I can sit in the pool and be nice and comfortable while I do this goddamn show.
And there you go. You know, that's not such a bad idea at all.
Dude, I am already trying to work out a way to move a TV and a PlayStation out there.
Oh, I have done such things before. Not when we lived in Ontario, because there was no such thing as the internet back then. I'm older than, you know, 1990, but I have, you know, with a laptop and the whole bit in the backyard in summertime, and it's enjoyable. So if you get a chance to figure that out, do it. Take pictures and tweet them.
I plan to.
Just make sure
watching,
you have some,
I'm going to be watching the Royal Rumble poolside.
Just make sure that you have some tasty frosty ones with you, because that just that's.
Oh, dude, we've already got an outside fridge and it's already got beer in it. Don't you worry about that.
There you go. That's.
I am prepared like any good Aussie, with a barbecue, a fridge for beer, and a pool. I'm made.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. I'm just right now. I'm really jazzed right now, and I'm going to take a second out to congratulate the Calgary Stampeders and the Calgary Stampeders fans. There are a bunch of them tuned in, listening right now on Shoutcast and TuneIn Radio. The Calgary Stampeders 2014 Grey Cup champions. We just won the Grey Cup literally 10 minutes before we went live to air, and it was a very, very exciting football game. Don't compare it to the NFL. It's a completely different game. It's not the same game. It's similar, but at the same time, quite different. And it was a very fun, very very tense game tonight. So congratulations to all the Calgary Stampeders and the Stampeders fans for pulling off one of the oldest professional sports trophies in the world.
It's still Canadian football, so meh.
What? So what? Being Canadian football doesn't make it bad football. It's a very good game.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. Shut up. Australian football sucks then, by your reckoning.
I'm sorry, but our guys would absolutely destroy 9/10 of any other football team on the planet.
Yeah,
whatever. We don't wear pads like a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, whatever. Don't even get me started about hockey. Then we'll have a discussion that you will not be able to keep up with. Or care to.
Of course not. I think at a higher rate than most hockey fans.
Hey, that is absolutely incorrect.
If you're a highly intelligent hockey fan, go to CalgaryFlamesForum.com.
I like how we just snuck that in there. That was really awesome.
I'm going back to being quiet now. I got the plug in. I'm done.
You got the plug in there. Shut up. There you go. Yeah, so officially, welcome everybody to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We're not going to talk Canadian football. We're not going to talk American football. We're not going to talk Australian rules football because I don't wear pads. We're going to talk a little bit about hockey. No, we're talking wrestling. I just want to say howdy to a couple of new names in the chat room. I see Connor and then somebody with the chat, Nick, MN0733. Quincy! There you go. So why don't we start tonight with our win and fail for the week, and let's go to Omega for your win, first off.
Why do you start with me? When am I ever prepared for this?
Well, you know I'm going to go to you every single week. Why aren't you prepared?
Because I'm usually busy.
I do this on purpose.
I'll make it an obvious one and go with Daniel Bryan as the GM.
Okay, well, that's a good one. So you were happy to see him back.
Uh-huh. I'll say this, like, Raw started with, like, 30 minutes worth of promos, and I was entertained the whole way through.
30 minutes before a wrestling match, and you're not bitching.
Well, it's aside from, like, just the authority, you know, groveling.
Yeah.
It was a good thought that of all people to come back for the authority's outro, it should be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that was that was fairly good, I think, and it was just great Daniel with the smile on his face rubbing it in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was quite enjoyable.
I love how he marches the authority out. Gives every one of them, okay, this is the shit you're going to have to deal with tonight.
What about him making Kane manager of the concessions? Or director of concessions or whatever.
What is it? Is the big red monster Kane, what is it that always... It always ends with him getting condiments in the face. Was that his one weakness the whole time?
It's his
kryptonite. All the years he's feuded with Undertaker, the Buried Alive matches, the Inferno matches, and all you ever had to do was throw ketchup in his eyes?
That's his kryptonite. So Daniel Bryan's your win. What about you, Mace?
Well, it would be that thing that you were just talking about, Kane's punishments.
You like that?
I did. I even tuned in to that other show, the one with the blue logo.
Uh-huh.
I keep forgetting what that's called.
Main Event.
Just to see what Kane was going to get stuck with on Friday night.
Okay, it must have been good if it got you to watch SmackDown. That's the show on Fridays.
He was selling merchandise.
Yep. T-shirts.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I know that that was good. It definitely has to be a win if it got you to tune in on Friday night, so that's awesome. I'm cheating a little bit with my win. I'm going back to last Sunday night with Sting finally showing up. That's my win for the week. seeing as technically the week starts on Sundays.
Yeah, fine. We'll allow it only to move on.
There you go. Time for everybody's fail. Let's go to Mace. What was your fail for the week?
That damn computer.
I just remembered my fail. May I have your attention, please?
The return of the anonymous Raw General Manager. And if anything, WWE has posted online about the General Manager in terms of videos and actually asking the question, who is the anonymous Raw General Manager?
Yeah.
We seem to be forgetting a single part of that storyline where Hornswoggle was revealed to be the anonymous GM back in 2012.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Die in a fucking fire, Rock.
I heard that.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Look.
Yep.
When that happened on Monday night, my heart sunk. I had been enjoying the whole show for the first time in a long time. It felt like a post-WrestleMania show. It was that good. And then that fucking sound hit and everything just crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, fuck.
But you know what my first thought was when I when the damn thing made the noise?
You thought it was your phone?
Nope. Where the fuck is Edge when you need him?
Yeah, and somebody needs to spear that fucking podium again.
Who can forget when he absolutely demolished that laptop?
I wish Michael Cole had just gotten up instead of doing the speech. He just grabbed the thing and went and just smashed it and went, no, we're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're going to have Cyber Monday because it's... like the sales.
Yeah. Now, how would you feel if it wound up being a swerve and they just did the laptop to swerve everybody, and then when they're talking discipline and stuff like that, Sergeant Slaughter comes out to run Raw tomorrow night?
I still would have, like, I would have been, oh, good, there's no anonymous Raw GM. But at the same time, I don't think we need to start trotting out the guest general managers at the moment. To be honest, Daniel Bryan is the perfect choice, and it's a way to keep him on television while he's injured.
Well, when Friday Night SmackDown, when Renee Young interviewed him, she asked if we can expect to see him soon, and he starts with the yes chance. So do you figure that's going to tie in with him coming back and wrestling, or him just being an on-screen character like they did with Steve Austin after Steve's neck surgery?
I'd probably say an on-screen character. The way that these injuries have piled up on Daniel Bryan, and every time he seems to go in for surgery, something else breaks. He's like one of your old cars. Everything keeps breaking, no matter how much you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd see him more as an on-air personality for the moment than an active wrestler. I don't think we're going to see him back until sometime next year, if anything.
Well, I do believe that he's still debating on whether or not to get the second surgery. So as long as he's still, you know, humming and hawing about that, we're not seeing him before WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure of it.
Guaranteed.
Yep. All right. So that's your fail. Omega.
Hey, the fucking cable guy.
I'm here to wrestle. Get her in.
Get her in.
Oh, my God.
I don't care what you say, that's stupid right there.
I've never wanted a pyro mishap more than that night.
Hey, Larry the Cable Guy has his place, and it's usually
at the
bowl.
Bottom of...
it's usually inside the bowl when you're done. I'm sorry, I don't find Larry the Cable Guy funny.
I was going to say the bottom of the barrel where he gets his jokes.
His jokes are worse than half of mine.
Wait, only half?
Wait for it. There you go. Oh, okay, his jokes are worse than most of mine.
There we go.
Thing is, I wouldn't mind so much if he just came out and did his shtick and all that. Okay, fine. But he comes out in a luchador mask, no shirt on. Oh, my God.
Yeah, his secondary segment was a lot better. Like, where he's at the concession stand with Santino and Kane. That was better. That was actually slightly amusing than, yeah, him coming out in, like, a Rey Mysterio mask, poor Rey.
See, if
there's anything that's going to hurt Rey's merchandise sales, it's Larry the Cable Guy wearing his mask.
No, you see, if you wanted that, if you wanted to, like, have him come out dressed up, like, pretending he's going to wrestle, you have him come out dressed as Henry O. Godwin.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Did you hear JBL during that segment though? Oh my God, it's Vader! Vader's back!
I had it muted, but no, that's a good one.
Yeah, no, that was kind of funny. He did reference Big Van Vader, and that made me laugh. That was the funniest part of Larry the Cable Guy on Monday Night Raw. But yeah. That's
he had Ray's mask on, I'm going, emulate him completely. Blow your knee.
Okay, so that's your fail. What about you, Omega?
Larry's a fucking cable guy.
What's yours, Tim?
Now that Groundhog Day is over.
Yeah, I was just having fun.
Having fun with your Alzheimer's, you mean?
Yeah, my original fail was the laptop. Larry the Cable Guy is honorable mention, but I have to go with the CM Punk interview that aired this week with our favorite independent wrestler, Colt Cabana.
Okay. I'm sure we'll hear more about that later in the show, Tim.
That is coming up a little bit later in the show. That's why I'm not going to elaborate on why that's my failure, but... yeah, there's more than just a little bit of bullshit in his interview that we get to call him on tonight. And then put the CM Punk story to rest permanently from here on after tonight. That's it. It's over and done with. But something that, I don't know, the jury's still out. Don't know if it's a winner or a fail. Have you guys seen the new Star Wars trailer?
How could you fucking not? It was everywhere.
Everywhere.
I've seen it multiple times. I've seen multiple parodies of it already.
Oh, I saw the Lego, where the guy did the Lego, like a shot-for-shot remake of the new trailer. I'll tell you right now, my fail is the title of the movie. The Force Awakens?
Why?
It just tastes too much like The Phantom Menace, as far as the title goes.
We're leaving a Star Wars. We're continuing a Star Wars universe that, to our knowledge, had one Jedi in it.
Uh huh.
It kind of seems like an apt title to me.
Well,
if we're gonna find more,
it's what, 35, 40 years later,
something around about that.
2005. Yeah, 39 years. It'll be 40 years when they release 40 years and 6 months when they release it. So if I remember correctly, the original Star Wars came out that was a June release. So for the
I'd say like either episode 8 or 9, can we just have Star Wars three word slogan? Yeah, because a lot of them just seems to be three words thrown together.
Well, the original trilogy, the only three-word subtitle was A New Hope, and it wasn't called A New Hope until he edited them and did the re-release.
No, they changed it to A New Hope for the... No, they changed it to A New Hope for the original home release when they decided to do a sequel.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm not dissing what I saw in the trailer itself. I mean, like I said, we're not going to know if it's a good movie or a bad movie till we actually see the movie. I'm just dissing the title. Personally, I just personally don't like the title. of course, things could change. What do you think about that lightsaber that we saw?
That's the biggest debate I've seen from anyone.
That thing is epic, whether you like it or not. It's epic.
The only issues I have from it is from a swordplay point of view.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Considering that the blades on a lightsaber are supposed to cut through virtually anything.
And everything, yeah.
All right. Having the two extended prongs on the end looks cool. Don't get me wrong. Looks pretty cool. You got to realize the wrong tilt of the wrist and you're going to be cutting layers off your arm.
Yep. That's exactly where I was thinking.
Well, to be fair, any mishap with any lightsaber and you're going to be missing a leg at least.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. But this sort of like increases the chance of doing it because of the way that the hilt is constructed, especially with the two beams being so close to it, to the actual grip itself. And I know what you're thinking, Omega. Oh, God, we're discussing logistics of a series based around space wizards.
Yeah.
Don't think I haven't fucking seen
it's
that
a
tweet
sword
laugh
of
my
light
ass off.
By space, used by space magicians.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, the last time we had a new trilogy, someone whipped out a lightsaber with two sides on it, and everyone went, oh, that's badass, and I'm
well,
the one
okay,
went,
that one was badass.
It was badass, but at the same time, I went, you'd so chop your dick off learning how to use that thing.
Well, you know, I've been thinking, like, with this one that you see in the trailer, I'm thinking you could potentially chop your dick off with this, too, because of the side plasma.
This is the thing. Like, the Darth Maul double-ended lightsaber is more akin to a bow staff than anything else. This is more akin to a broadsword, just with some very, very sharp edging on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is way too easy for that thing to impale on your own wrist.
See, someone pointed out something to me, which was how fiery the blade looked compared to the usual, like, ultra-smooth lightsabers.
Mm-hmm. Finish.
Because it looks a lot longer than your typical lightsaber is. So the hilt might not actually be two extra blades coming off, but it might actually be exhaust from turning up the lightsaber so high. Which I actually think is kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a better and, let's be honest, safer option.
You know, and possibly,
again, that also plays into what I'm saying. It's more akin to a broadsword than an actual saber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to be the grumpy one on this, as per usual, when a trailer comes out. It seems to be my thing.
Well, yeah. That's why we love talking about trailers, because you're the pragmatist.
It's just, I don't know what it is, but this just feels like the trailer itself, I know it's a tease, it's not really giving away information, it's a bunch of, oh pretty, here's a bunch of finished shots that we have from the CGI department put into some music and some talky bits. But it feels like a fan film from that.
Just from the first part of it.
Yeah, just that the effects, the barrenness of it all just seems like it's one of those really, I'd say, like a good mid-level fan film. Like, I've seen other trailers that have been made for this thing that people have been doing for the past, you know, 10 or so years. They look on par with what we've now got from J.J. Abrams and Disney.
I'm not sure that speaks so much about the quality of the trailer or the quality of fan films these days, because I've seen some really good ones.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that here it is, I'm walking away from a Star Wars trailer as a gigantic Star Wars fan who watches at least the main trilogy, you know, 4, 5, and 6, because fuck 1, 2, and 3.
The second half of 3 was good.
Don't care, Tim. Shut up.
It was the other 2.5.
Yeah.
Made up for the last half of Jedi. Anyway.
5, 6 of it was shit.
I watch these things religiously. You know, I do like everybody else. I watch them on May 4th, May 5th.
Yeah.
You know, I'll watch them every now and again each year. I probably view the entire set at least 2 to 3 times a year.
Well, when I watch them like 4 times.
When I'm walking away from this trailer going, it looks like a fan film.
Yeah.
I see that as either I've moved on from giving a shit about the series, or the job isn't complete. But then again, I also sat down and watched that parody one that was the George Lucas cut.
Uh-huh.
I saw that and went, now that's what I'm supposed to be looking at when I see Star Wars.
What, you mean, what, the Phantom Edit?
No, he's talking about a trailer that was done that added in CG'd in a bunch of extra, like, Banthas and Stormtroopers, and the last shot of the Millennium Falcon has, like, 3 dozen TIE Fighters.
Okay, this just sounds like something I have not yet seen.
I've also seen the J.J. Abrams version where it's all lens flare.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I've been busy working all week, so the only parody of the trailer I have seen has been the Lego one. But you guys are saying like there's like tons of them out there already.
Oh yeah, people were quick. I will say this: from what it looked like, it didn't look like it was quite done, because until it's in the movie, they're still going to be tweaking it, no matter how complete it is, no matter how much they polish it up.
Well, they're going to – I mean, it's what, 12 and a half months from being released, December 2015. And, you know, post-production hasn't even fully started yet. So what have they got to release, really?
Yeah, and, and I know there's spots that look barren. It's a desert planet.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I think it should have looked
– I'm pretty sure it should have looked barren. And
how would you have felt if they had shown any of the main cast in the trailer, like from the original trilogy?
I would have been hyped. Give me one shot of Luke Skywalker. That's all I need.
How long would it have taken you to recognize any of them except for Harrison Ford? He's the only one that still looks good. The rest of them look like...
Oh, I've seen what Hamill looks like today.
Yeah, he looks like he swallowed Yoda. Or not... Can't believe this.
the only one that they could put on screen and nobody would recognize is Peter Mayhew.
Jabba the Hutt.
No, Chewbacca.
No. I'm just saying, the last time I saw Mark Hamill, he looked like he ate Jabba the Hutt.
It's not that big.
No. Have you not watched... what was the last movie I saw him in? Sushi Girl.
No, the last time I saw him on screen, it looked like, you know, like he had no definition from the neck. It was just like, you know, a big, like a blob.
Yeah, go watch like Sushi Girl or something that he's been in recently.
Yeah. Okay.
He started to slim down.
Probably.
Carrie Fisher still looks like she's on coke, but you know, that's just Carrie Fisher.
And she's probably still on coke.
And the last time I saw her was, Big Bang Theory.
Uh-huh.
Which was the episode with James Earl Jones, which I thought was absolutely friggin' hilarious.
Oh, it was funny.
See, I wouldn't want to see the cast for the trailer because I'd like to see the new stuff. You know, like, yeah. I know that Luke, Han, and Leia are in it because I've seen the cast list.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to see the old stuff, and I want to see what the new stuff... You know, I want to see the new stuff, and I want to see just a bit of the old stuff. And I think seeing the TIE Fighters and the Stormtroopers again, I think that was cool. I really love the shot of the X-Wings over the water and the Millennium Falcon flying around because...
That's what kicked the trailer into high gear for me, was seeing the Millennium Falcon at the end of the trailer.
Well, what's cool about it is every battle we've seen with the Starfighters happens in space.
Yeah,
like this is the first like low ground fight I've seen from the ships, which I thought was kind of cool to see, and that gives me enough of the old. I actually really like the shot of the pilot inside the X-wing because it is very much an old, like 70s kind of shot of the pilot.
It looked like, you know, the modern version of how they would have done that. Yeah. If that made sense, I don't know.
It looks like a modern version of trying to recreate the old shot.
Yeah. I think the thing that had most people going, huh? And, you know, like me saying, oh, it looked like a really well-done fanfic, is it didn't tell us a single goddamn thing. I mean, even the original movie, A New Hope, when we were seeing the commercials on TV, because you didn't have the internet and couldn't watch the trailers online, you had to wait to see the commercials on TV or the trailers in the movie theater, at least we were told some of the story of what was going on. And they don't do that with movie trailers anymore.
Well, that's the thing. You get multiple levels of trailers. You have what we've just seen with the Star Wars film, which is a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
It's basically a bunch of shots designed to make you go, holy shit! And then
it's coming back.
and then they put a far off release date, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yep.
Then as it gets closer to the movie and things need to be hyped up, that's when you start getting your actual theatrical trailers, your TV spots, and everything that we're used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to ask Omega this. When you see the Stormtrooper guy pop up in the beginning, did you think Michael Winslow from Spaceballs?
We ain't found shit.
Exactly. I'm sorry, it popped up and two thoughts popped in my head. The first one was Michael Winslow, and then the second one was, holy shit, we found the second black guy in the Star Wars universe.
I don't know how long it took me to realize that was Lieutenant Tuvok who played that. We ain't found shit.
Well, the neat thing for me and Mace is Rob Paulson's another one of those guys combing the desert.
Yeah. I'm just remembering all the scenes from Spaceballs now, where the white guys are combing the desert and the black guys are using the pick.
There is a rumor that one of the storylines to the movie is a stormtrooper who gets separated and kind of loses his way and kind of starts to go in with the rebels. So the only thing we really got is maybe some confirmation of that, which is why I don't mind that desert scene looking as barren as it did, because he's supposed to look alone. What I liked about it was there's another scene with a girl riding on something.
Yeah, what the hell was that thing? It looked like a fridge on like on its end on the side.
What I liked about it, it looked old. It looked like a ratty piece of just like space junk.
Yeah, well, it almost looked like you could take it. Looked like somebody took Luke's old speeder and put it sideways.
Yeah,
the old speeder and like leftovers of one of the pod races from episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it looks like you take a land speeder and like make a motorcycle version of it. And it looked
It looked like something that somebody like kitbashed in their garage.
Yeah, that's what I hated so much about the prequels. Everything was so clean and pretty
and polished.
You know, when it comes to Star Wars, I want the frontier. You know, I want like Wild West in space. I want just cobbled together, make do with what we have kind of technology.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, the prequels were supposed to be like, you know, with the Old Republic and how things were more civilized. To quote Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And everything was shiny and new.
Yes. So.
Yeah, mind you,
it's not what Star Wars ever was.
I'm so happy that they've now made a puntable droid.
Oh, yeah. the little ball with R2's head on it.
Yeah.
I like that little thing.
Like,
why do I get the feeling that that's R2-D2's son?
I reckon it's going to be some sort of like comedy astromech droid that we're going to see in the damn thing.
Oh, no, no. Please don't let this be the astromechanical version of Jar Jar Binks.
No. It can't be that bad.
How
is someone going to go, how is someone going to hear
ropes.
Bleep, bloop, bloop, bleep, bloop, and someone go, that's racist?
Yes, C-3PO to translate.
That is such a stereotypical of a cannon bubble jet.
There you go.
No.
So
people don't realize is that Jar Jar Binks is the Jedi with the blade under the robes.
Oy vey.
I will find a way to kill you from here.
That's just...
If that turns out to be true, I accept my stabbing death.
I love... No. I love how Jar Jar's place in the Star Wars universe is. It's his fault the Empire happened. That I think that's suitable punishment.
That's pretty much fitting, yeah. Okay. So there you go. The teaser trailer, it's got me... I don't want to say excited. Interested in seeing, the follow-up trailers that are going to be coming along. I do believe that they'll probably have a more detailed trailer out by Christmas for the Christmas Day releases. And we'll see a new trailer about that time.
I'd probably say maybe mid next year.
No.
We'll see something with a bit more substance.
Oh, I just think that we're going to get a little bit more substance, a little bit more substance, a little bit more substance several times between now and next December. I don't think they're going to do this have this until like March before they release a new one.
I'm sorry, but I hate it when movies do that. Mm-hmm. When it's like, we'll give you a little bit, we'll give you a little bit more, we'll give you a little bit more. What movie was it? Can't remember exactly what it was. There's something Omega and I talked about quite a lot on OTL, that by the time it came around, I think it was one of the Marvel movies or something, you and I talked at length about it, that when we went and got all the trailers plus the opening 5 minute sneak peek, it was Captain America.
Mm.
And they had the 5 minute start of the movie,
yep.
And you went through all the trailers that had all the bits and pieces. If you went and actually put that all together, you had half the movie already.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want them to release half the movie in, trailer format before we get to the release in December. And guaranteed, I'll be at the theaters the day it's released with Owen.
So. I'm probably going to go and take my little brother.
Yeah.
When they did the Star Wars Day here earlier this year, they actually had two marathons of 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, 6 was the next day.
Yeah.
I wanted to take my little brother. My little brother is 12 years old. He has never experienced Star Wars, any version of it, in the cinema.
Oh my goodness.
And if it's one thing that I say to anybody, Star Wars fan or not, it's one thing to get the Blu-ray copies, to get the DVDs, to have the VHS, the Laserdisc, whatever version you have, and watch it in your own home. It is a completely different experience to go into a cinema and watch it there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, totally.
You know, I had, when Lucas did the original, the first version of the re-release.
Yeah.
The special editions. And they put those out in the cinemas. My mother said to me, go and watch them. It is a completely different experience and one you will never forget.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I've seen Star Wars a million times. I can wait for them to come out on video. She's like, money, get out of the house, go to the fucking cinema and watch it. And I've done, and I did that. I did that with all three.
Your mom deserves kudos for that.
Well, mom went and saw them originally at the cinemas.
Yep.
The original cuts. And she just explained to me that it was a very different experience to be there with the big screen, with the proper sound, and be surrounded by fans of the series. To watch them.
Yeah.
It gives off this more epic feel to an already epic film.
Yep.
It's like I would also suggest to anybody, go and watch the original Lord of the Rings in the cinema. Because no matter how good your home theater system is, you will never recreate the feeling of an actual cinema without building one yourself.
No, it's a totally different experience. I have to agree with you on that one. But on that note, I think maybe what we should do is take our first time out of the evening and then come back and put the CM Punk business to rest.
Sounds good. I'm going to go dunk my head in the pool.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right on the other side of this timeout, and we'll fill you in on exactly what happened with the CM Punk interview, and a whole bunch more wrestling talk with odds and ends. We'll be back right after this.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins now hits a shot to Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? Great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah.
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year. Sub.
I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all awful? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl trick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right. So you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR picked. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your
knees. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we can tell from that music, it is time for that topic that everybody has been talking about since, well, pretty much last week. The topic that destroyed, I believe it was Yahoo's MP3 storage for one Mr. Independent Wrestler, Colt Cabana. Yeah, it seems to be the thing to do. Let's break the internet.
Yeah, he pulled a Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian, then Sting, now CM Punk.
So there you go. Yeah, so how many people caught the interview, listened to it, or read the transcripts or whatever? How many missed it?
I read transcripts. I didn't get to actually hear it yet.
I started off reading transcripts, and then I figured I had enough time before the show to actually listen to it.
Yeah.
Which was like trying to drive a knife through my own skull. Because we all know how much I love Colt Cabana and how much Colt Cabana loves me.
Well, we all know. Yeah, we all pretty much feel the same way about that fucking guy.
But, I figured, I'll swallow the bitter pill on this one, mainly because I want to actually hear what Punk is saying rather than what people have been transcribing, which, to be honest, depending on which version you read, can be extremely close to or completely nothing like what he actually said.
Yeah.
So, I
definitely was not impressed. He didn't do anything to further his cause, in my opinion. Some of the stuff he said, yeah, valid points. It's not anything that we don't know about. It just, to me, for me at least, went a long way towards validating that CM Punk Phil, if you will, is a bit of a prima donna. I can understand being pissed off, and we've gone back and forth with, you know, the part-timers coming in for the boost because it will give the company that boost and all this other stuff. But at the same time, we've all acknowledged that guys like The Rock and Brock Lesnar, they've paid their dues in WWE. They've climbed the mountain. Punk was still ascending it. He wasn't at the top. Sure, he had the longest
I was about to say, you're talking reign. This is after a 400-plus day championship run.
Yeah.
One of the most hotly contested matches against John Cena that even Cena himself hasn't been able to fucking top.
Yeah.
One of the hottest storylines for a better part of 2 years. Something that is in the WWE 2K15 showcase mode.
Yes, it is.
So obviously something was right.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not dissing Punk for that. I mean, he was on the ascension. He was just about to get to the level where those guys were at the Attitude Era when they were on top. He was like within arm's reach of it. Now, all of these guys went through the meteoric rise, and then you drop a little bit, and then you're over, and you're carrying the damn company. A lot of these guys weren't main eventing when they had the same spot like Punk had.
I'm sorry, I don't recall a time seeing John Cena, The Undertaker, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, or anybody of high caliber have the title belt and not main event Raw for almost a year, not main event pay-per-views for over a year.
Well, he wasn't given every main event. He had a couple of them. He had a few main events.
He had a total of 8 in 50 over 52.
Well, what part of this
of Raw and 2 pay-per-views over about 14 to 16 pay-per-views.
Now, with the interview that he did with your favorite indie Colt Cabana, that was hard to say. What part did you have the most problem with?
To be honest, I didn't have that much of a problem with it.
Yeah.
Punk was reiterating a lot of things that you could go back. I've got a shelf here of shoot interviews from the likes of the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. I've got Caitlin's. I've got shit. Who have I got? I've got like a whole ton of ex-WWE talent, and they all say the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that there's no health insurance in the company. You're treated as a independent talent through a contract, but yet you have that many limitations and everything placed through that contract.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to speak up to Vince or Hunter because they're in fear of their jobs.
At the same time,
the doctor's pushing people to continue wrestling instead of actually treating injuries. These are things that have come up time and time and time again for the past 10 to 15 years anytime you talk to an ex-WWE talent.
Yeah.
So Punk is just reiterating what we've already heard, really.
Yeah, I'm not discounting everything that he said in the interview. Far from it. And this was presented throughout since the interview dropped that we were going to bash the hell out of Punk. And yeah, you know, I'm going to admit that we sort of came across that way just to get some interest in what's going on. But sometimes you got to play a little sneaky that way. And so, guilty as charged as far as that goes. But at the same time, like having had contracts in quote unquote the real world, you know that the company that you're an independent contractor for puts in stipulations that limit limit you on certain things at certain times with stuff, and you're the one responsible for negotiating your contract with the, you know, the company that you're contracting with.
Okay. You're saying you negotiate. Here's the thing. A lot of WWE talents can't negotiate the contracts. It's basically, here's the contract, take it or leave it. Because I'm quite sure. You know many wrestlers that have wrestled for the likes of TNA, the WWE, all like big promotions. Do you not think that one of the first things any wrestler with half a brain, and this includes Sid Vicious, because we all know he has half the brain we think he does, they would ask for, first thing out the gate, health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the company goes, no, you're an independent contractor, we're not going to offer it.
Yeah.
Here's the contract. Take it or leave it.
How many wrestling companies, regardless of size, offer any kind of health benefits? In Australia, you've got socialized health care, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. In Canada, we have socialized health care. It's not a big deal. In 99.95% of anything that happens is covered. So it's more of a non-issue for your country and my country than it is for the United States.
But it is still an issue. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, also, like, I know Punk himself probably could have handled things better in the long run when he gets later into the story and explains the story of how he ended up leaving.
Yeah.
Sure, that could have been handled 10 times better, but then again, hindsight is always 20/20.
Always, yeah.
But the whole thing of the WWE saying you're in breach of contract in, what was it, June or July, when they go, oh, we've backdated it to January 27th, that's actually illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why Punk got whatever settlement he got. Yeah. In his words, I got what I wanted and a lot more.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just WWE that he got stuff from, so.
Well, yeah, true. But look, I for a lot of this interviews, I'm sitting there going, it's stuff that we already knew. You know, it's issues in wrestling always amount to health issues.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about how he had the lump on his back that turned out to be a staph infection.
Yeah,
MRSA. Which is deadly, you know. It killed Chris Candido.
Yeah.
And should have been treated day one. Instead, they went, here's some antibiotics, some pretty crap ones at that. Get back out there and wrestle. And because Punk was being a company guy, he went and did it.
Well, okay, he's being a company guy, but if he was so sure that it was more than just something treatable with antibiotics, why did it take him so long to see like an independent doctor?
Because he didn't have the bloody time. When you're working house shows and Raws and SmackDowns and pay-per-views and overseas tours, try and find 5 minutes to scratch your ass, let alone, you know, half a day to go and try and see a doctor.
Okay. So, you don't figure he could have found an hour out of his one day just to hit some...
Not if he didn't want to have some sort of punishment thrown on him, no.
Local town clinic. Okay. That's fair. Fair.
No, for something like that, I wouldn't be going to a local town clinic. I'd be going to a trusted doctor, to be honest.
Okay, yes, like your own physician.
Yeah, it's this thing that's going green, purple, blue, and every other color under the sun. I'm not going to local quack on the corner. I'm going to somebody I can trust for a proper diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, we haven't heard anything from Omega on the situation yet. Omega, do you have anything to input here?
I didn't actually hear the direct interview, so I'm kind of just a passenger over here.
Well, you did read some of the transcripts. Did anything jump out at you?
I read some of the transcripts. A lot of it is repeating what we heard before. Okay, we knew he was wrestling sick. We knew he was wrestling injured. And we knew WWE was really overworking him when he didn't, when he wasn't 100%. I mean, it was after working sick. It was after the busted ribs that we heard about that WWE went and said, you're going to start the Royal Rumble and last almost all the way through.
Okay.
You know, and you're right, he has repeated a lot of the things that a lot of people confirmed and a lot of former talent aren't happy about. Well, you kind of take that when you sign the contract. If you didn't read it and you're upset about it later, that's your fault.
Okay, fair enough.
That said, you know, from what I read, like, if you're that abused by an employer, you know, everything we've said about this is, well, he walked out on his fans. He walked out on all the people that were, you know, in love with the guy. You know, but it's still a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're that abused in your job, if you're that taken advantage of, you know, it's, you know, there's, it gets to a point where no amount of love and adulation is worth it. Mm-hmm. So there's part of me that almost can't, you know, determine, depending on how much of this is true, and since a lot of it backs up what a lot of WWE talent says, wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
You know, it's...
What is your collective opinion, guys, about CM Punk and WWE making amends and CM Punk going back to WWE? Even not even just to wrestle, just like you know, burying the hatchet. I love, you know, Bret Hart and Vince.
What's the temperature in hell right now?
Yeah, pretty much. Has it started snowing in hell yet? Because that'll be maybe the start of negotiations.
I was just gonna say, don't ask me because it feels like it's cooling down based on the temperature here.
Look, Punk is gonna be one of those deals like The Ultimate Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take decades before either side will even want to acknowledge each other.
Okay. Punk did mention that there was no way in hell, pretty much, that he would ever do anything ever again with WWE in that interview, didn't he?
He said he wasn't really open to any of it, that he was burnt out, which is fair enough, but you got to realize, you know, this is 6 months on from the release in the contract, almost 12 months on. Sometimes it will take guys a couple of years before they start getting that itch to get back in the ring.
Truth.
Sure, Punk, from a financial point of view, and he said it himself, he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
You know, he looked at his bank account and he said, what the fuck am I doing here? And I can't believe I'm actually going to give Colt Cabana credit, he made the good point of, when you start looking at your bank account and saying, do I need to be here, then that's when your passion for the business is gone.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe, you know, a couple of years down the track, maybe Punk will take an indie booking or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5 years down the track, maybe he'll want to go and work, say, you know, one of the smaller companies. Who knows? 10, 15, 20 years from now, you know, we might see Punk doing a sort of a Legends contract or something. Or he may become one of those part-timers he hated so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, you know, who's to say that that can't happen? But it takes that passion for the business in order to start things rolling. And Punk does not have that passion right now.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that people have made the odd joke about is because AJ Lee happens to be married to Punk, she's going to wind up in situations that are, for lack of a better way to put it, unfavorable towards her.
Hey, look, more speculation of AJ Lee from people who know jack shit.
Exactly.
So fucking sick of that shit.
Vince is a businessman, people. Let's not forget that. First and foremost, he is a businessman. He is somebody who has let personal grievances go to the wayside to make a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. He put aside the shit with Warrior. Why? Because both sides decided, hey, it's time to bury the hatchet and let's make some money. He did the same with Brett because both sides decided, hey, let's make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Vince sees money in AJ Lee. He's not going to let anything that happened with Punk influence what happens to her.
So keep in mind, this is one diva who they could run the entire division around. Well, that's this is one not diva a that small they, thing.
They have run the entire division around her, and I think they will again. I just wanted to bring that up for clarification purposes for people who do listen to us and are wondering about that. I know there's like one or two who aren't, you know, quite clued in. I'm trying not to say it in a nasty way. I don't mean it in a nasty way, but I think you get what I'm trying to,
I want to bone your punk wife. Ah, fuck.
I want to bone your punk wife. Strike that. Reverse it.
Strike, reverse. Edit.
Yeah, I want to bone your wife, punk.
And take two, Omega.
No, I blew it.
Yeah, line, please.
You wish you would.
Oh, you wish she would. There you go. So,
look, to be honest,
the best thing to happen to that roster since Trish. There's no way they're going to let anything happen to her.
No. Yeah, no shit. Look, to be honest, overall, the only thing I probably had an issue with was when Punk started. Look, to be honest, I didn't even have a real problem with Colt Cabana in this.
Okay.
At all.
I'm just shooting.
The only thing I really had an issue with was when Punk started talking about his WrestleMania payday.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I sort of went, okay, the ego is really jumping in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, he was close to being on the level of guys like The Rock and Undertaker and everybody else.
Yep.
He was working the match with The Undertaker. It doesn't mean he deserves The Undertaker's money.
Mm-hmm.
The Undertaker comes in for that one big payday because that's how he makes his money.
Yep.
The Rock obviously had a really good lawyer to negotiate that payday. Same with Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these guys had really good lawyers who could negotiate them a really good payday.
Mm-hmm.
Punk was still under contract. You get a certain amount of bonus based on your WrestleMania performance, or so we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
So Punk probably got paid what was the equivalent of what was in his contract. Unfortunately, it comes down again. Read your contract. If you don't believe it's enough, then say something. Take the risk.
Fair enough.
That was the only part of it I really had an issue with. But one thing that I really loved about the whole story time with Punk was when he was talking with Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, kid, what do you want to do? And Rusev's like, oh, I'll just give you a kick in the corner. And Punk's like, no, fuck off. Throw me around. Hit something big. Smash me. Do something. You know, these people at Gorilla don't give a flying fuck about you. They're waiting for you to fucking fail. Go out there, prove them wrong, and make your fucking moment. I almost stood up and applauded that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the attitude that these guys need to have. And back in my time, when I was wrestling, I got told the same thing in my very first match.
Yeah.
You know, I was going up against a veteran.
And he's telling you, no, don't do that. Like, make a name for yourself.
Exactly. I'm saying, oh, you know, I can do this X, Y, Z. I don't feel comfortable giving you this, that, and the other. And he's like, no, fuck off. Hit me with your biggest moves. Mm-hmm. Make everything as flashy and as showy as you can. Hit me with everything you've got. This is your opportunity to go out there and make your name for yourself. Do this, and you will get bookings up the ass.
Yeah. No. That, you know, that just reminds me of, like with Canadian All-Pro Wrestling when, Johnny was still holding the title, and it was the last match before we had the title change booked for, Kamikaze to actually win the title from Johnny. Johnny was mad because Kamikaze was holding back. It was like a Texas Bull Rope match that they had. And at the end of the match, Kamikaze is supposed to snap and just absolutely go ballistic and just beat Johnny with a belt, and Johnny was mad at him afterwards because he didn't hit him hard enough. Johnny wanted Welsh. Johnny wanted to look beaten up by Kamikaze to make Kamikaze look like, you know, a threat. The guy snapped, and he's about to lose it on the champion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I had an opponent that, because he and I were such good friends, our plan for any match was literally go out there and beat the shit out of each other. Didn't matter who threw potatoes, or if you botched something, or if you hit something you weren't used to, just fucking hit it. We'll deal with it afterwards over a couple of beers.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, so many guys, when you're going up against veterans or somebody you're not used to, and you want to try and take it easy, especially like in Rusev's part where he's going up against Punk, who was a high-end star at the time, you don't want to injure the guy. You don't want to put the guy in a position where you're absolutely wrecking him in fear of the office getting reprisal.
Yeah.
But when your opponent turns around and goes, hit me with everything, destroy me, turn me into a fucking pretzel, you know what you do? You fucking do it.
Yeah. Well, that's Punk working at getting over the new kid.
Yeah, and I've sat there, even when I wasn't wrestling, with kids coming into the business, and even veterans that I've known for, you know, 10 years, mm-hmm. hearing them go, "Oh, I'll hit you with this little bit, this little thing, that, and the other," and I'm sitting there going, "I know you guys have got better things. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you using them? Oh, I don't want to hurt him." I'm sitting there going, what? Like, the veteran I went up against, Bradman.
Yeah.
A couple of years later, he was going up against a guy called Mad Dog McRae, who does a lot of hardcore stuff. And they were in a hardcore match that night. I'm sitting there listening to Bradman go over the, you know, "Oh, I'll hit you with a scoop slam onto the ladder." I'm like, "Why don't you powerbomb him? I don't want to hurt him." Mad Dog's turned around and gone, "Just fucking hit me with a powerbomb." And by the end of it, Mad Dog's looking at me going, "Dude, can you just help us book our match? Can you play road agent on this?" I'm like, "Yeah, fuck yeah, let's do this. You know, getting these guys to pull out all the stops in a match is what you're supposed to be doing. If you're not going out there to steal the show, you're not doing your fucking job.
Yeah.
If you're going out there just to do bare minimum, well, then you deserve to be, you know, Mr. Jobber in independence the rest of your life. You want to make a name for yourself, you got to go out there and go, I'm opening the show, but fuck that, I'm going to put on the match that's going to be match of the night.
Well, okay, now you saying that, Mace, let me ask you something. Booker to talent, because this is what I used to tell everybody that we brought in. It doesn't matter that you're there for filler. It doesn't matter that you're the curtain jerker. It doesn't matter if you're the main event. It doesn't matter if you're the match before intermission. Every single one of you go out and steal the show.
Pretty much.
That's exactly what I used to say to everybody.
I was part of a gauntlet match 1 year.
Yeah.
I opened it with a guy I knew really well. We were told, "You guys have got 3 minutes, then I want, then Mace, I want you to get eliminated." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Cool." I turned around to my mate and I said, "Dude, we've got 3 minutes. Let's make it the most impressive 3 minutes that we can put on. Because at the end of the night, I want them to turn around and go, fuck, those guys that were out there in the first 3 minutes absolutely blew my mind."
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why people don't have this type of mentality.
Well, that's how every single match should be. Whether you know, it doesn't matter if you know it's going to be a 5-star with you know, the top names of the company, or if it's the greenest newbies on the planet. Well, you know, especially if it's the greenest newbies on the planet who have they're on the main card for the very first time. That's especially the time you want to go out and be memorable for the right reasons.
Yeah. If you're not going out there giving it your all, you might as well stay at home.
Yeah, so, you know, Punk saying that to Rusev was a great thing. Absolutely. Have we talked about this enough? Is it time to put it to bed?
Well, to be honest, the last thing I'll say on this is we've only heard half the story now.
Yep.
We've gone from knowing or hearing rumors about little bits and pieces here and there to hearing one side of the story. Yep. Will we hear Vince and Hunter's side? Probably not. So at this point in time, it's about as close to put the bed as we can get.
Now, before you continue, will they bring it up tomorrow night on the Steve Austin podcast?
I would not be surprised if Steve tries and Vince just corporates his way out of it.
I can see Vince deflecting if Steve brings it up. Because let's not forget, people, something very similar happened with Steve Austin. And Vince actually addressed it.
On an old show called Confidential.
So, yeah. He might choose not to address it this time around. Steve might not want to bring it up.
But if you're Steve Austin, you have a public, you may have to just ask the question.
Steve has a reputation, like from the shows I've listened to, I listen to any interview he does with WWE talent, especially somebody in the backstage. Mm-hmm. Steve has a pull no punches approach to the way he interviews. Mm-hmm. He will try, or he will make allusion to his time of walking out and try and swing that as sort of an undertone of, hey, we're trying to get you dirt on what happened with Punk.
Yeah.
Vince has been in the game long enough that I'm quite sure he'll be able to deflect it.
He has to at least make the attempt, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so Omega, do you have any last comments or not?
No.
Okay.
You've been on eBay, haven't you?
I've done bad things.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
I know.
Guilty as charged.
I had a moment today of pay now, regret later.
Yeah, somebody play the Dewey Cox song, Guilty as Charged, because that's what Omega is. Well, my final word on it, it echoes what you said, Mace. There are three sides to every story. Now we've heard Punk's. We can only wait to hear what WWE's side will be, and then realize that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. If you're wondering, don't expect to find out the entire story, because I don't think the whole thing will ever come out and be resolved.
How much would you laugh if he came on the Steve Austin podcast and said, Punk screwed Punk?
Okay, I would laugh just for the irony.
I'd actually buy the t-shirt.
I would, yeah. That would be good. All right. That being said, everybody, we're going to take our second and final timeout of the evening. Don't go anywhere. On the other side of this, we got a bunch of odds and ends talking Daniel Bryan and Tyson Kidd. And then, of course, our feature standard regular stuff that we close the nights out with, the all-time greatest and quick kicks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Never more to be held down by the waves against me. Never more to be cast aside. This day is mine.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather would be for dying. just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know, I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now, goddammit. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of
Camel Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck, man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... Midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got 3 easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's James the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down his assault to Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole...
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ha, you thought I wasn't here, ha ha.
You took your sweet-ass time to take...
I did, yeah, because, like, you started playing music just as I was getting the headset back on.
Smoke faster, Tim. Smoke faster.
So there you go. Yeah, yeah, smoke faster. Smoke faster.
Smoke faster.
That reminds me, I'm getting sick and tired of all these public service announcement commercials on TV talking about how marijuana is a very bad drug. Can we just clear the air really quickly? And marijuana is not a drug, it's a plant.
For more great insight, follow Tim on Twitter.
That's just like when a girl says to you, oh, age is just a number. No, it's not. It's a word.
Again, you can get this insight on Twitter at Flames Forum.
Flames Forums.
Flames Forums.
Yeah, because Flames Forum was already taken.
And it's CalgaryFlamesForum.com.
That's absolutely correct. That being said, let's get the rest of the show taken care of. Everybody, is Tyson Kidd poised for a breakout in 2015? What do you think? Is he going to break out? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
Apparently they don't think Tyson Kidd's going to be a star in 2015. All right, move on.
Pretty much.
Next question.
Was that a big resounding fuck no?
That was the sound of the crickets that Tyson Kidd gets any time he comes out.
There you go. So what you're saying is his biggest claim to fame is he's Natty's husband?
Natty's husband.
Pretty much. That's pretty much his... claim the fame is ever going to be.
That's kind of tragic because the guy is one of the better mat technicians going. He really is.
The new chants are Tyson's chicken.
Tyson's chicken?
Yeah. Yeah, Tyson's chicken, you know, after the brand of chicken.
Yes, no, I figured it was a brand of chicken that you can get in the States.
And now it's also, he's Natty's wife.
Natty's wife? Okay, I admit I haven't heard that one.
They did that one on this past week on NXT. It was kind of funny.
Is that like an NXT main event type thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
I gotta start probably like watching that shit once in a while.
It's a good show. They have a live special coming up in 2 weeks.
No way! A live special?
A live 2-hour special on a Thursday night called NXT Takeover R Evolution.
Is that one of those specials where they upshow the entire WWE main roster?
And usually happens like 3 days before a WWE pay-per-view.
Wow, you're kidding. That'll be amazing. That never happens, except for when it happens.
It's happened 3 times so far, so let's make it 4.
So, Daniel Bryan, we talked about this, and that was your win for the week, as a matter of fact. I think it was Mesu. Whatever. So, one of you guys.
One of the guys with the funny voices.
Yeah, one Omega. Of the guys that would be Omega.
Omega was the one who liked Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan taking over this past week, getting back on WWE TV. Are we going to see a lot more of him on TV?
No, this is a special thing.
Ah.
It was appropriate for the night the Authority gets ousted, but he was there to be the general manager, just someone to call the shots and book matches for the night.
Okay.
I feel like we're getting into this theme where it's going to be a interchanging thing. Like, I don't expect the anonymous Raw GM to last more than tomorrow night.
Okay. Fair enough. What do you think, Mace? More Daniel Bryan, or that was just the one-off?
Well, as I said when Omega brought it up at the start of the show, it's a pretty decent way to keep him on television and in fans' minds while he's recovering from his injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'd love to see the anonymous Raw general manager disappear after 1 week.
I would love to see the...
God, if it does.
I would want to see the anonymous Raw general manager disappear after last Friday.
Yeah, well, we're not that lucky.
Yeah, we know how that goes.
Yeah. But, you know, Daniel Bryan I'd like to see more of in this context because, again, it's something for him to do. It keeps him on television.
Yep.
And it'll keep him hot until he makes an in-ring return. Yeah. Like, you hear the reaction that the dude has in the first time he's been in a ring for almost a year.
Yeah. Is it amazing that he got the reaction he got?
No, it just shows how over he is.
Still.
Yeah. There is no he's just a flash in the pan anymore, Vince. This just fucking proved it.
I think it may have, yeah, exactly. So I don't know that I want to see him like every week or anything like that, but once every few weeks. Just little backstage things maybe even.
Well, it's like when we brought this up before Survivor Series, you know, what do we do if, you know, and the whole role of the authority figure. I'd like to see Brian come back. Sure, he can come back. He can be the Raw General Manager. That's cool. Use him sparingly. Don't use him every single week. Use him when there's something big that needs to be announced or something big that needs to be solved.
Okay.
So like the roles that Slaughter had in the past, and the old, you know, WWF president, Gorilla Monsoon, you know, that type of role where those characters only came out when they were really needed.
Yeah.
So that if they want to put Brian in that type of role, sure, if they're going to trot him out every week, it's going to grate on people eventually.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one. What about the anonymous Raw GM? Do you want to say anything we haven't said yet? What the hell?
I played the sound.
I didn't know the Raw GM got theme music.
It did get the theme music. It played, and then I forgot. Oh, right, there's the next segment bumper right after it.
There you go. So you're not quick on the stop button.
No, I was trying to unmute at the same time. So it's like, oh yeah, there's the thing.
There you go.
Pretty much at this point, it's fuck this idea. We know it's only doing it because of the whole Cyber Monday deal that comes after, you know, Thanksgiving and Black Friday and all that shit.
Yeah.
Thank God it's going to disappear.
Yeah, it's a Cyber Monday thing. It's a very easy thing to throw in just as a holdover until they figure out who the next one's going to be.
But what if the anonymous Raw General Manager is Triple H and Stephanie?
Rock?
What?
Do you value your testicles?
Yes.
Okay, then shut up.
Hey, it could be.
If it is, do you accept your stubby, stubby death?
No, because it's Triple H movement all the time. Yo.
It's going to fucking... If that happens, I will... It will be the first stop on my trip through the U.S. I will make sure to stop, kill you, and then proceed to exit the country as they will kick me out.
Well,
I hate to bring this up, but that fucker in Philadelphia with his Triple H movement bullshit, isn't that what we got with the authority for a year? Within
Pretty
3
much,
months of him saying Triple H movement?
Yeah, he got...
I'm not going to say...
It's done. It's over. Give it up, Rock.
I'm not going to say he was correct.
But
I'm not going to say it.
I was.
No. Shut up, Rock. Because you know why? It's a new day. That was their debut on SmackDown. Was that fun or was it full of flop?
Big E doesn't work in bright blue. And Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods and their new gear look way too similar.
Well, what exactly is this new
gear? You saying they all look alike?
Yeah.
Yes, I am, actually.
That's racist. That's racist. You don't like blue tights.
Hi, my name is Mace. Haven't we met?
Yeah, there you go.
What do you have against people dressed in blue?
I hated those Smurfs. I hated them so, so much.
Well, who didn't hate the Smurfs?
Seriously, how could you have a population that big with only one female? And she wasn't even an actual Smurf. She was created by Gargamel.
Smurf trivia here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I think we've covered every spectrum tonight. I think.
would it be poignant at this point to say I'm having a look at this really awesome Skeletor statue that's probably going to cost like way too much money?
Way too much.
No, I'm currently holding out for this, like, speaking of blue people, I'm holding out for this Mega Man arm cannon. It's like way too expensive for what it is, but I'm buying it anyway.
As long as it goes pew pew, it's all good.
It has all the NES sounds in it.
Fuck. Wallet.
You can shut up and take his money. Yeah.
Wait till I review it, Mace. Then you can blame it on me.
No, because then it'll be fucking sold out.
All right. I think that's just about as far as we go. It's,
hold on.
What? You got something?
I don't get to talk about. I don't get to talk the new day.
But Megan didn't get to talk the new day, and I have a point after he's done.
Oh, my apologies. I didn't realize you didn't. Because I heard your voice, and I wasn't listening.
Okay, well, I know Rock's point anyway. I'm going to bring it up.
Do it. There you go. Go ahead, Omega. You have the board.
I'll preface it with this. The original idea for this was Xavier Woods came out all Malcolm X to recruit these guys, and it looked like the new Nation of Domination was forming, and everyone went, that's kind of racist these days. It's racist back then, too, but they still did it. And nowadays, now it's this black evangelical gimmick, and I'm thinking, is that less racist at all, or it's still a black stereotype? And the point Rock's going to bring up, they were scheduled to debut on Monday Night Raw, but for some reason, WWE decided that this team needed to debut on Black Friday.
That's because they're going to bring us great savings.
Three black guys debuting on Black Friday in
the black fashion.
Stereotype black fashion. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that.
It could have been worse. They could have walked out there in tuxedos singing Mammy.
Oh.
Actually, now that I think about it, I'd actually pay to see BB Lakes to do that. And the thing is, if you suggested it to him, motherfucker would do it.
Mammy, how I love you, how I love you. My dear old mama. Yeah, God.
And
God.
And no, that was not my point. My point was, hey, look, it's a new day. It's like, oh, hey, look, it was Los Matadores. Big build up, and they're still the same people they were. Yeah. Sorry.
Did you notice though that earlier in the night, El Matadores were also in blue, so they're going to join Brand New Day. So we're going to have all the racial stereotypes in one group.
So, wait.
Hold on.
Does that mean Lana and Rusev are joining them?
No, we're not going to have them join because that would just devalue it.
I don't know. Lana looks very fetching in blue, but then again,
Lana looks very fetching in anything.
No, it'll be like the NWO, different shades of blue, though. One's darker, one's lighter, like, you know, NWO red, NWO A, you know. A new day is coming.
New Mexico, so it's like, it's New Day Spain.
New Day Spain, yeah. New Day Africa? Or Jamaica, or wherever they say Kofi's from.
Hollywood. They could call New Day Hollywood if Miz joins up.
And it would be awesome. We're moving on now, Tim.
Now, can we move on? Let's get to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Curb stomp versus muscle buster. Omega, go.
Curb stomp is just pressing someone's head into a mat really hard. Technically
he's right, but it's still fucking funny the way he said it.
Okay, so curb stomp, stepping on someone's head. Muscle buster.
Hey, 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 bullies step on kids' head. It's painful. Don't be a bully, be a star.
Don't be a bully. Be like our GM, who forces people proud of their nationality to sing the Pledge of Allegiance of another nation.
Well, it's only because they're being dicks about it. Come on.
There's no comeback for that.
Yeah, no. There isn't. There really isn't.
How dare you be proud of where you came from? Why don't you be proud of where you came from and funny, like Santino? He's okay.
Have you ever heard Santino when he's not using his fake Italian accent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that just catches you. He's just like, whoa. He's got a gym in, I think it's in Scarborough, which is in Ontario. It's a suburb of Toronto.
Good.
And, yeah, they...
To be honest, the one that catches us more than Santino is the actor James Masters. After you hear him in Buffy the Vampire Slayer for, like, 7 series with the English accent and everything, then you hear him on the behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's a pure, like, almost New York accent. It really fucks with your head.
You could say the same thing about like Hugh Laurie, who played House on you know, House.
The funny thing, yeah. The funniest thing was my mom was asking me about that one day, where she first heard Hugh Laurie speaking his natural accent, and she goes, "That's amazing. How can he create such a perfect American accent when he's British?" And I don't know. How does an American actor speak with a British accent? And my mom goes, you could hear the gear stop.
Right.
he just kind of threw the wrench right into the cog.
what threw me off, and it was today, too. You ever watch the show 2.5 Men and the character Rose on that show?
No.
She's from New Zealand. It kind of threw me when I heard her talk in her normal voice today. I was like, wow.
Well, this one Mace will relate to a little bit better. Watching The Walking Dead, half the cast is British, and then you hear him talk with a Southern American accent on the show when they're in character. Or Game of Thrones, everybody's British except for the midget, or the dwarf, whatever you want to call him, the imp. Impin' ain't easy. He's American.
But anyway, we were talking finishes once upon a time.
So the muscle buster, yeah. Omega.
Okay, so curb stomp is probably like one of the easiest moves ever for a setup. They just have to be, someone just has to be prone on the ground. The muscle buster is kind of the exact opposite. It takes a very specific setup. Now, someone like Samoa Joe who uses it has the power to actually do that. And I love that move because it looks really powerful. It looks really painful, and it's one of those moves that completely entraps the opponent, where it doesn't look like they could get out. And because of the way it's set up, you believe that the guy holding them up has the power to keep them from getting out. Now you're talking one of my favorite finishers. So yeah, we're going muscle buster.
Mace.
I, too, am going the muscle buster. Again, it's all in the setup and execution. The muscle buster actually looks a lot more impressive. Plus, the only time I ever actually really enjoy a curb stomp is when you do it properly. For those of you who don't know how a curb stomp is actually meant to occur, it goes by placing your front row of teeth on the top of a street curb. Somebody stomps on the back of your head with a very thick gothic boot.
Be a star, Mace. Be a star.
No, I'm being historical.
Be a star.
I should know. I have performed a curb stomp or two in my time.
Don't be a bully, be a star.
He's being accurate.
Fuckers deserved it.
Here you go.
So, Tim, your opinion.
Well, you don't need my opinion because it's already, muscle buster. But I will make it unanimous.
Okay.
Muscle Buster fucks you up. Thanks for letting me explain why. Moving on.
Well, you don't really want an opinion, so I'm just going to move on.
Asshole.
All right, fine. Canadian Destroyer, Black Hole Slam. Tim.
Canadian Destroyer. Not because it says Canadian. Get that out of your heads right now. It fucks you up more than a side slam, which is what the Black Hole Slam is.
Omega.
I kind of like the... I like both finishers, but I'm torn between... I'm torn between the fact that the Black Hole Slam has a... kind of a more complicated setup. Versus the fact the Canadian Destroyer is physically impossible. Because that's one of those moves where the more times I watch a Canadian Destroyer, and it's a really pretty move, and it looks like it hurts like fucking hell. But the more time you watch it, the more you go, that's more the opponent than Petey Williams. Fine, Canadian Destroyer. God damn it. I really don't like picking between those two.
Just, anyway.
I'm going based on just pure spectacle.
Mace, because Tim chooses a sharpshooter no matter the week.
I'm going Black Hole Slam over Canadian Destroyer. Canadian Destroyer is all style, no substance. Whereas Black Hole Slam is all substance, no style.
Well, unfortunately for you, Canadian Destroyer moved on.
So the sharpshooter moves on.
Next week...
Stop giving away the finals, Tim. It's sharpshooter versus sharpshooter, okay?
Hush. We're getting
Actually, it's Sharpshooter versus Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
Gonna wind up being that.
Because, he had to make sure we put both of them in there. Next week on the show, it's Doomsday Device versus Superfly Splash. And the 3D versus the move that will totally break your neck, the Styles Clash.
Poor Yoshi Tatsu.
Yeah, poor Yoshi Tatsu.
When does AJ Styles sign with the WWE?
Never.
Never.
Well, that being said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Tim, if you had the power and were in control of naming a Star Wars movie, what would you name it?
You just came up with that on the fly, didn't you?
If you could name a Star Wars movie, what would you name it?
Dark Force Rising.
Why?
Because that's the first thing that popped into my head.
Okay. Mace, if you could name a Star Wars movie, what would you name it?
Actually, here you go, Tim. Bit of trivia. Dark Force Rising is the second entry into the Thrawn trilogy of books in the Star Wars extended canon.
I know. I've got the book on my bookshelf.
Cheater!
I've got the entire trilogy. Ow.
For the Corellian trilogy myself, but...
Okay, I admit, I haven't read the Corellian trilogy yet.
Anyway, Rock.
Only had 20 years to do it.
Mace, I said, if you could name a Star Wars movie, what would you name it?
If I could name it, You know what? I can't do any better than what Family Guy did. They nailed it perfectly. Something, something Dark Side. I want that to be an actual movie. Something, something,
something, something Dark Side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Omega, have you seen the theme of this question already?
You swerved me last week. Just speak.
If you could name it a Muppets movie, what would you name it?
Fuck you.
Muppets New Dallas. Miss Piggy Does Arkansas. Midnight Kermit.
You're not funny.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Shut up.
The good, the bad, and the felty.
You're not funny.
Funnier than you.
Fuck off.
A fistful of felt.
Okay, wait a minute, wait a minute. Golf clap.
Okay. Tim. Marry, no. Marry, fuck, kill. China, Nicole Bass, or Sonny F today.
I hate you.
I like how you had to clarify it of Sonny of today.
Well, if you were around for cards, you would know what of Sonny today.
Oh my god, that censor box!
If you want to know more, go to CalgaryFlamesForum.com.
What, you looked at the picture?
Sensor box could have hit a basketball.
I think it may have. Or at least a basketball hoop.
I think it might have been the Sarlacc pit.
Oh. Complete with teeth.
Inside you'll be slowly digested over 1,000 years.
Yep.
Oh, shit. That's just not fair.
I know. That's why you have to pick it.
Well, Nicole Bass. Nobody's convinced that Nicole Bass is a woman.
So you would do what? Would you marry it then, or kill it?
Kill it.
Okay, then you either have to marry China or fuck China.
Christ, I've seen her naked. Oh my god.
And you saw what Sonny of today looks like.
And would I fuck or kill that? I can't answer this question. I cannot. It is literally impossible for me to answer this question.
No, you have to answer it.
Okay.
You can always go back and fuck Nicole Bass if you really want.
No. Nicole Bass has been killed.
Okay.
Alright, I'll marry China and double bag Sonny. Maybe triple bag it.
Again, if you want to see what we're talking about, CalgaryFlamesForum.com.
And just check out the adult posts. You'll see.
Yeah. Mace, if you were an ice cream flavor, what flavor would you be?
I'd be a vanilla strawberry swirl.
Why?
Very plain, but a little bit fruity at the same time.
I knew there was something about you.
And Omega, you are being forced to make a sex tape with either China or Sonny of today. Who would you choose?
China.
You're going to... Oh.
With no
didn't even have to think.
Why China?
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Coming soon, A Night in China, starring Omega.
Followed by the ritual suicide of Omega.
Which can all be seen, which all can be seen at tjomega.org.
In Japanese, more aptly known as seppuku. Or however you pronounce it, I don't speak Japanese or whatever. Everybody, that's it. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to us ramble tonight. Tomorrow, immediately following Raw at like 11:10, 11:15 Eastern Time, it's right after Raw, right after wrestling, it's the Raw post show.
It is. Join us for our immediate reactions of all the fallout from Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, Thursday night, it's The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
Yes, The Rack returns live at 10 p.m. Eastern this Thursday night after our awesome pre-taped Thanksgiving gobble gobble wobble wobble spectacular that it was for Thanksgiving. Check it out at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. We'll be back live. We'll review NXT, talk CM Punk, preview NXT, our evolution, and make fun of the Cowboys because they're playing on Thursday Night Football, so, you know. It's double the fun. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. And follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWord, MBHands.net/LindsWord. Also, check out the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack.
Yeah, what he said. Saturday night, it's another game of cards against humanity.
So you want to know how that, you know, topic of Sunny came up?
Please, let us know! We're dying to find out!
Watch us play cards every Saturday night around 10 p.m. Eastern. Followed by CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. Check out the brand new website, CBRadioLive.com. Use the hashtag BlameRob.
There you go. You can follow me on Twitter at FlamesForums, and I don't just post about hockey. I do post other stuff, a lot of other stuff. You can also follow me at the Men with Food. What is that one? Man Kitchen TV on Twitter as well. Please check out CalgaryFlamesForum.com. We have a section for the Wild Talk Radio Network there, and we definitely want you guys to check it out. Get posting there. We'll answer your posts immediately if you do start posting, because you know that would be good. So do it. Once again, CalgaryFlamesForum.com. Check it out. Mace, you're on Twitter.
I am indeed. You can find me on Twitter at TheMaceSing. You can also go and have a look at things on YouTube that I've done over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, including a review I just recently put up last night for this little game by 2K Games that you might have heard of called WWE 2K15.
Well, that just kind of sort of screws up what I was about to do next, which was, you know, bring up Games Garage. You already covered it.
I've been doing plugs for this shit for how long, Tim?
Yeah, I know. How long have you been doing Games Garage? Exactly.
and before that, everything else, actually.
Yeah, and before that, everything else we've ever done since you've come on board. should we let Omega plug his stuff? I think we should.
Yeah, that would be fair of you.
Only.
All of my stuff can be found over at one of two places, either tjomega.org or, more conveniently, over at YouTube by searching TJ Omega. TJ Reviews is where you find me on Facebook. TJ Omega is where you find me on Twitter. And hopefully I've got some fairly big things happening in the next week or so. I'm working on things.
We're waiting to find out.
He's working on things. Oh, my God. Tune in. Check it out. It's going to be spectacular.
Will it be spectacular?
Hopefully.
Now you got a lot to live up to.
We're going to build this up. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. So check out TJ Omega on YouTube.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Lord.
No. The greatest thing ever was trying to see Omega pretend he was a Sith. Who lost in a blinking contest.
I totally did that because of the Star Wars trailer coming out. That wasn't like total like accident or anything.
Alrighty then. There you go.
So just you know, a new day is coming at TJ Omega on YouTube.
Fuck you.
With
with 40% less racism.
Well, that's not good.
For the American South, it is.
Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night, Tim. Congratulations to the Calgary Stampeders 2014 Grey Cup champions. Yeah, baby.
Oh, and who cares about your Canadian football?
Oh, shut up, Mace.
Oh, did we mention? How about them Cowboys? Huh?
Yeehaw.
Huh?
They lost. Yeah,
they did.
So there you go, Kinkin.
Choke.
What does the D stand for, Dallas? What? Shut up.
WildRadio.com.